Sunday morning. Praise the Lord for Sunday morning at Akron Alliance Fellowship. And we're glad you could make it. We have a new handout for this week. Of course I do. I know. We didn't hand it out last week deliberately. I'm doing it left-handed. Just give me the whole thing. Just give me the whole daggone thing. Okay, thank you very much. Let's not mess around here. Just give me the whole thing. All right, that's not how she sounded. That's how that was my inflection. All right, so we are back, and we're going to start. Thank you. We're going to start with lesson number 7. A couple of very brief announcements. This is actually spring break week. Not just for schools, but for our church. Our spring break conference is coming up this Friday and Saturday at the Hampton Inn. And you never can predict how the weather's going to be for the conference, but we're going to be mostly indoors, except when we go out to eat dinner and stuff. But it's supposed to be in the mid-40s on Friday and Saturday with possible precipitation. And it can get cold enough overnight where there might be even a snow pellet or two. But that Sunday is supposed to be just like today, 60 degrees. So who knows? What do you do? You just pick the date and you try not to worry about all. Yeah, you just run with it. You know what I mean? That's right. We're in Ohio. But we're going to have a good time indoors. That's where we're going to be most of the time. I am prayerful that this is going to be a very, very beneficial, uplifting conference that encourages you when you attend and just listen to all the discussion, all the interaction. I can't wait. The material's all written. It's all done. It's just ready to roll now. Hey, got to roll with it. And we'll be ready to rock and roll with that this coming Friday and Saturday. So I'm door prizes are ready. There are a few. Your door prize, you'll have something. We'll make sure you have a little piece of candy or something to walk out with. Whatever it is, you know, we'll have a door prize for you. Hey, you know, we'll make sure. Yeah, and we do have door prizes that are available on Saturday. And we've got some nice giveaways, just so you know, too. Be prepared for that. So if you are inclined to go, I know it sounds like bribery, but if you want, it sounds like bribery. But if you want to get a nice door prize, including those of the electronic variety, including those of iPad, MIDI, and accessories, then you'd be willing to come and see us, and we'll be happy to have you here. You can come on through, and we'll be glad to have you. That wasn't it? I don't know. Ridiculous is my middle name. So we are going to move forward with that. And the other thing I wanted to tell you, too, and a couple people already know this too. Right after I talked about skating last week, I went skating on Thursday, and just as I was about to take off on bounce rock skate roll, my screw broke and my truck broke on one of my skates, and I took a nice fall. I took a diving. Remember how in the Honeymooners, Ralph Cramden would say, bang, zoom? I went zoom, bang. I went zoom, bang, and went down and I got a little skin my elbow a little bit, and I got a thigh bruise over here, and I hit good. When you're taking off and going fast, and all of a sudden you lose your wheels, and you know, hey, that's you're airborne at some point, and then you just kind of, but you learn how to fall. You know what I mean? You don't hit your head, so you fall. So I fell on my side, and my side is fine. Everything's intact. So yeah. There weren't beginner skates. These were very expensive skates that I had, but you can't do anything about a truck breaking when. I don't know. I can't remember right now. Yes. Did I do what now? Oh, I was done for the night. We were almost. It was the end. That was the end of the night. Pardon me. It was about 11:15 at night, so it was time to. It was time to say that was it for the night. No. So it was exciting. I don't fall very often, but what you have to just do is it's part of the sport. You have to kind of deal. You can't do a whole lot about equipment failure. If your equipment fails and you're only on six wheels instead of eight, and you don't, and you're going about 20 miles an hour, you know, going top speed, then there's not much you could do other than just say, "Hey, I'll just go down gracefully," and that'll be the end of that. So, but praise the Lord for His protection and comfort. Pardon me. I had a few people help me up, yeah, because at first when I went down, when you hit your side, you're trying to catch your breath a little bit if you fall hard enough. So, you know, including her, you know, because she's always like, "Ow, he fell again," you know. So, all right. Everybody's coming together, I know. All right, so enough of my boring life. I'm just going to go ahead and move on to the lesson. Thank you for being here this morning. We do encourage you again to come and visit with us on Friday and Saturday at the Hampton Inn in Stowe. We're going to have a great time. Free seminar. Those of you who already booked your hotel room, we'll catch you there. And we'll make sure that we make it a great experience this year as well, too. Let's look to the Lord with a word of prayer, and we'll get started. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for your presence in our lives. We thank you for your protection and travel mercies wherever we go. We don't take it for granted, Lord, that you are involved in every aspect of our lives. We thank you and give you praise for ongoing testimonies that we can give on your behalf. We also now pray for the lesson that the Holy Spirit will be the one who does all the speaking. And we give you praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Lesson 7. It took a while to get through Lesson 6, but we deliberately did that. We wanted to make sure that we were doing our Spirit-filled spiritual building. Now we're moving to the new phase of this discipleship. And you'll notice at the top of the handout, it says relational spiritual building. Relational spiritual building. We have spent the first few weeks, months of this, talking about your own personal development. And the personal development of a believer, obviously, is very important. But now, when it gets right down to it, real discipleship has to do with what? Relationships. Interacting with other people. In other words, you have to be able to interact with others to be effective in discipleship. And that's what life is all about. I mean, none of us in this room is a hermit. None of us is a monk. None of us lives in caves. We don't just stay amongst ourselves. We have to interact with other people in order to be able to do the things that we do. And Jesus Christ encourages us not to be monks, not to live in caves, not to stay separated from other people. So we have to now look at the relational aspect of the spiritual building. This is the leadership phase of your efforts in discipleship. Now, I notice I said leadership phase. You have to understand something. Most of us would not call ourselves, quote-unquote, leaders like managers or supervisors. And that's not what this is about. What it comes right down to in this leadership phase is that you have to be the one to take the lead in witnessing and discipling other people. In other words, you're the catalyst in this. That's a leadership stance. That's a leadership position. While not all of us are leaders when it comes to having people report to us, you should be a leader when it comes to discipling others. Being prepared to speak at any moment when someone talks to you, that's leadership. That's taking a leadership position. Being prepared, that's what this whole preparation thing is about. You have to be ready to be able to speak at any given moment. Anybody know where that scripture is? It talks about that. That's a real test, isn't it? But there's a passage that talks about specifically being prepared to speak at any given moment. I'm paraphrasing it. When, what is it? It's going to be in Timothy. One of the Timothys. It's going to be in 1st or 2nd Timothy. Go ahead, so let's see if you can find it. Because we need to understand that that aspect of this is leadership. You have to be ready and be prepared to speak at any given moment when a person comes to you about Jesus Christ, and when the Holy Spirit, I'm going to add to that, the Holy Spirit prompts you to speak to a person or have a conversation with a person, you have to be willing to allow the Spirit to give you direction to do that very thing and speak to this other person, where the other person may not even know about it. That's a leadership position. You got a 1 Peter 3:15. We got a 2 Timothy 4:2 also, but let's do 1 Peter 3:15 since you called that out very quickly. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 15. Okay. That's one of them. That's one of them. But honor the Messiah as Lord in your hearts. Always be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Okay. However, do this with gentleness and respect, keeping your conscience clear so that when you are accused, those who denounce your Christian life will be put to shame. All right. And you had the 2 Timothy. Second Timothy 4:2. Okay. Proclaim the message, persist in it, whether convenient or not. Rebuke, correct, and encourage with great patience and teaching. Now, we're talking about a mindset, aren't we? You're prepared, your preparation on a daily basis of reading and studying the Word, living out your Word as you live your life, the image thing that we talk about. Look at the graphics on the top. We've actually got the graphics up there on the top about the image. You're living in God's image. We have the pact for Jesus. And we added one there that talks about focus, which is something that we'll be talking about more today. But understand that this process of living in this way for Jesus Christ prepares you to be ready to speak. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where your faith, this is where your preparation, this is where your personal spiritual building comes into play in the real world, where you're interacting with other people and not just interacting. For those of us who are still working, you have your jobs that you normally do, but now you have a second job. The second job is now acting on behalf of Jesus Christ in everything that you do. It's almost like an overlay. You're living as Christ-like members of society in everything that you do. We're going to talk about this a great deal during our seminar, how important it is for you to live in this manner on a regular basis. And that's what this relational spiritual building is involving. You're going to go out and talk to other people. How about that? You're actually going to go out and talk to other people. Now, for some people, that's a real big deal. Talking to strangers. Amen? That's a big deal. Talking to strangers, for a lot of people, is a real hard thing to do. And there may be issues of fear and concern, but we have to also go back to look at, where does fear come from? Is fear something that God allows, or is it a tool of Satan to sometimes keep us from doing what we should be doing? It's a tool of Satan. And, you know, phobias, illnesses, all those things, we have to recognize that God is the ultimate healer. If you have a fear of talking to people, the thing that you should be doing every day is praying for God to give you the ability to speak to other people and provide healing in this area. And whatever it is that's keeping you from doing it, that God would remove that from your life. Okay, Pearl, I'm sorry. You had your hand up and I didn't want to...
Oh, no, I was just going to say Mark 16 and 15 tells us to go out into the world.
Preach the gospel. Mark 16, 15 does that. That's the verse that also counters with Matthew 28, 19. Does the same thing. Absolutely. But we need to be ready. This is a leadership thing. We had to be prepared to be able to speak at any given moment. And we have to always be in tune to the Spirit speaking to us to know the appropriate time to speak. This is not something you just do willy-nilly. Amen? You don't do it willy-nilly. You do it according to the Spirit's leading. That's why this spiritual building has to take place. you have to develop this this thing where you're hearing the Spirit speak to you, and you know it's the Spirit speaking to you, and you know, and you're responding accordingly. You're not just doing it because you feel like doing it, because that's just you. The Spirit has to be leading in all of this. Okay, I'm sorry. Yes. That's right. Absolutely. Right.
But our lives should be so that we're coachable.
Absolutely.
That, you know, that office that you work in should already know, oh, I can't go down there and act crazy to her because she's going to give me some word and I'm not trying to get it.
Right.
So mm-hmm. they should know that they can come to your desk, they can come right. to your office.
Yep.
And you're going to give them the scripture, you're going to give them the word.
Exactly right.
So these relationships, this is with people.
Yes. And you have, everyone has heard this term before, you have a sphere of influence. And I say sphere of influence, but that's actually a term, that's a psychological term. Where there's you, and there's a circle that you draw around you, and whoever intersects with that circle, people in other people's lives, that and it comes in your sphere of influence, that's the people that you interact with on a regular basis. You should be developing relationships with these people. Are you going to get along with everybody? No. It doesn't mean you can't have a relationship. We have to measure what the word relationship means. Relationship does not necessarily mean friendship. Relationship means you have at least a working dialogue with someone, okay? Because you're going to have friends. Not everybody's going to be your friend. Not everybody wants to be your friend. And you really don't want everybody to be your friend. That's a heck of a burden. If you really think about it, what happens when somebody hits the lottery? All of a sudden, people come out of the woodwork. When somebody hits the lottery, there are folks, cousins twice removed on somebody's side of the family, all of a sudden know you hit the lottery. Guess what? They become their greatest family members ever. Ain't never seen these people before. You don't want that. You want a select group of people that you have as friends. You have people who are acquaintances. You've heard this before. Acquaintances. And you have people that you interact with on your job that you would not be friends with, probably under any circumstances. But you have a relationship with them because you want to be able to speak to them if you need to work with them on something. But all of those things count. All of those things matter. If you're living with integrity and living in a Christ-like manner, all of those relationships that you develop matter. They do matter. If for no other reason than people who are not your closest friends or relationships see Christ in action anyway, that's your responsibility. A lot of people don't like the word responsibility. But let's face it, when you became a believer in Jesus Christ, there's a responsibility that comes with that. And if you don't want that responsibility, then we would have to go back and evaluate, then why are you a believer in Jesus Christ? You have to go back and examine all the things that Christ has done for you, and then you say, oh yeah, I guess that's why I probably should be doing these things. Because he died on the cross for you. He took care of your sins. He's promising you eternity, eternal life, and he's giving you a life to live with talents and gifts that come from him. That's why you do it. That's why you live this way. Amen? Makes sense? Okay. So you're going to go out and actually talk to other people. I put that in exclamation point in brackets there because some of us don't want to talk to people. Some of us want to be left alone. Well, that's not what you're called to do, to be left alone. I mean, there are times when you want to get out of the way someplace and go and have a quiet place to maybe sit and reflect and pray and all that. That's fine, because Jesus did that. But he also spent the majority of his time doing what? Ministering to other people. That's what he did. That's what you do. That's what you're supposed to be doing. And not just to say a few words here and there, but counsel and listen to others. This is discipleship in action. This is discipleship. Having conversations with people about regular things, but also about things that have to do with faith and Jesus, that's discipleship. Remember when we said when we first started this class that sometimes discipleship is made out to be this big thing and people don't realize that they're actually doing it all the time if they now just focus on Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit working in their lives. You're discipling to reach others for Christ, and you're also encouraging other believers in discipleship. You're already doing it. But now the focus has to be the Spirit leads in all of it, not just you having those conversations. And that's a demeanor, that's a lifestyle that you have to live, living and breathing Christ in what you do. We know what it is to respond to the call to go into all the world and go into the world, if I could just read today, go into the world and preach the gospel. Now it's time to just do it. Just do it. Just like the Nike slogan, just do it. Because ultimately, that's all Christ asks us to do, is just get out there and do it. Reminder number one, discipleship is for believers as well as non-believers. That's what I just said. Discipleship is for believers as well as non-believers. Discipleship means we are encouraging the body. We're encouraging other people. What we're doing right now in Sunday school is a form of discipleship, where we're here to encourage you to continue to take a stand. Encourage the brother right here, who's always reading and studying. Amen? That's right. Encourage each other. Because all of us are different. All of us have different life experiences going on. All of us have things happening in our lives that, you know, when we get here, sometimes this is a place of refuge. Amen? Amen. You hate to think like that sometimes, but, you know, stuff happens that it's just not pleasant. And sometimes we need to encourage each other. I would say to those people who need encouragement, don't wall yourself off to the point where nobody knows your business. And when I say that, I don't mean all your personal business. I mean the basics, the stuff that's right up front. I can look at somebody and I know when something's not right because I can look on their face and I can see it. So when I come up to you and talk to you, don't tell me I'm fine. Why would you do that? You're in the place where people care about you and want to minister to you and encourage you. And for goodness sake, you need the encouragement. You know you need the encouragement. Why would you wall yourself off? And I understand why some people have done that. We have to, obviously, you have to get to know the people that you're talking to. You don't tell everybody your business. You know if you start telling everybody your business, it'll be on Facebook somewhere. It will be. I mean, because that's how people are. There are very immature people, and I say immature because they specialize in gossip, which is sin. And they pretend to be believers because believers that are true believers will not tell about other people's business. Amen? Amen? Everybody here, everybody knows what I'm saying. A true believer, a person who really cares about you, is not going to spread your business all over the street. So there is discernment in who you talk to, but as you're developing relationships with people in church, I have to slow myself down. My mind is ripping ahead, and my mouth can't keep up. That happens every now and then. That's why I have to slow myself down. So if I do that, thank you for your patience. No. My mind rips ahead. It's like going a million miles. It's going like a million miles. It's going like sonic boom speed right now, okay? And so I have to literally gather it up. Yes, that's what happens to me. That does happen. We have to... speed of light, brother. Okay, now, so understand that this is all part of this relationship building, this relational building, allowing the Spirit to give you guidance and wisdom as to who to speak to, too. Because everybody in the church does not have to know what's going on with you. Let's start with that. Everybody in the church doesn't have to know. It can only be one or two people. And that's it. And those people would be charged and have a responsibility to pray for you and pray about your situation. That's how it's supposed to work. That's what's supposed to happen. But the one thing you cannot do is wall yourself off and let no one encourage you. Christ would not have you to do that. I'll just start with that. You're supposed to be interacting with the believers in fellowship and being encouraged and allowing the Spirit to work and bring people into your life to speak to you. Goodness knows that's exactly what the Spirit does for you. You have a responsibility to speak and interact with other people. Now, Lynn and I have been here I've been here longer than Lynn has. I've been here since 19. Any 19s just sound crazy. So Lynn and I have been here for quite a while now, and we have our certain group of people that we are friends with and interact with, and that's fine. But we have knowledge of everyone. And we generally pray for the entire church and the fellowship, which covers a lot of ground, amen? Especially our pastor, the pastor's wife, the pastor's family, extended to all those people as well, too, because as you know, if you're in ministry, you are under attack early and often. Early and often, all the time. That's a lifestyle that we as believers have to think about and live accordingly. Okay, so we got reminder number one, discipleship is for believers as well as non-believers. Reminder number two, we don't just pick and choose who we speak to about Jesus Christ. We speak to whoever the person is when the Spirit speaks to us. Amen? That is absolutely critical. You speak according to the Spirit's leading, not just to your best friends. Not just to people you know. True discipleship is speaking to other people, sometimes outside of what you would expect. And that's okay. I went to the cash register yesterday. We typically go on Saturday morning to First Watch up in Macedonia. And we take Mom out with us right before we go and do our little workout thing. I went up to the cash register. I had four different people speak to me between the time when I went up to the cash register in line to when I got back to the table to get them to take us out of the restaurant. It's like, didn't plan that, didn't anticipate that, just had basic conversation. I don't even remember what we talked about. Doesn't really matter. But it just happens. Now, it tells me that, first of all, the Spirit is always alive and well. It doesn't necessarily mean you're always talking spiritual stuff. But having conversations with people and encouraging them and letting them know that at least you're there, there's someone else of like-mindedness, whatever you're thinking about or talking about, that's an encouraging thing. When I talk about all aspects of your life, it doesn't mean that you're discipling and always talking about spiritual stuff. It may be. It can be. It certainly can lead to that. But God wants you to, Pearl said the word earlier, God wants you to be approachable. Approachable. Approachable is everything. If people just walk up to you and start talking to you for no reason, praise the Lord. That's what you want. The Holy Spirit is absolutely working in your life to make sure that you have this demeanor, this appearance, that you're not trying to scare somebody like Hannibal Lecter. Amen. That's pretty important. You shouldn't be a scary person to go up to. Y'all know scary folks when you see them. Nobody you want to come anywhere near. Well, everybody's not approachable. And that's something that I'm not going to always understand, and I'm not going to realize that. But you know what? You have everything in your ability to make sure that you're in tune with the Spirit and that you are approachable. That's what you want. That's what the Holy Spirit wants. He wants you to be a vessel. What does it mean to be a vessel? You're carrying the information about Christ wherever you go. You're a vessel. If you're going to be a vessel, that means you have to be approachable. People have to see in some way, shape, or form, in some way that the Spirit does it, Christ is there. Christ is in the midst. Yes. Okay. Yes. That's right. What you put in, what you get out. That's right. And all of this, remember all this preparation we talk about, the spiritual building part? This is all preparation for you to be that vessel, to be that approachable person that you're talking to, people are talking to. Discipleship, anybody have any questions about that? I mean, that's really what this is all about. The Holy Spirit is taking an active role in all aspects of your life, not just on Sunday, not just on prayer meeting, not just during your Bible time at home. This is everything, everything. And we need to make sure that those lines are just stripped away. Discipleship takes place with the understanding that you are a human being dealing with other human beings. Amen? You're a human being, and you're dealing with other human beings. You are not a robot. You're not a superhero or hero or anything like that. You're a human being just like they are. Therefore, your approach always begins, as previously stated, with a place of humility. Go back and look again at that passage that we read in 2 Timothy 4. If you still have your Bible there, it says in verse 2, I'll just read it again, proclaim the message, persist in it, whether convenient or not. Now that is the essence of discipleship. Whether it's convenient or not, because sometimes it's going to be convenient to you, but you're dealing with other human beings. And sometimes it's not convenient to you. But you still are to do what? Persist in the message, but do it what? Rebuke, correct, and encourage with great patience and teaching. In order for you to have great patience and teaching, you have to humble yourself. You've got to humble yourself. Because none of this will take place if you're impatient, if you don't have time for somebody, if you don't want to talk to them, your breath smells, get out of my face. Human beings, dealing with human beings. You have to humble yourself. And sometimes it will be convenient. And we praise the Lord for those times where it is convenient. Sometimes it won't be. But you know what? You praise the Lord anyway because he's using you as a vessel to communicate with other people the gospel. And that's how you have to look at it. You are not so inconvenienced that you forget who you are and where you came from. Amen? It ain't that daggone inconvenient. For what Jesus Christ did for you, you should be humbling yourself any opportunity you get to have a conversation with somebody about Jesus Christ or about anything that encourages that other person. That's how you are to live from here on out. I'm just going to tell you, from here on out, that's how you're to live. That's what you should be doing. I'm going to get her and I'll come right to you. Go ahead. I'm not, you didn't you have your hand up? Oh, you had your hand. I apologize.
No, I was saying kind of back to where we were before about being approachable.
Yes.
I find that even in the church, those who have master degrees and on up, it's hard really for people to approach those people or for them to even acknowledge.
Okay.
People who are lesser than them.
Ooh. That's interesting. I have a master's degree. Am I not approachable?
Oh, okay.
I know exactly what you're saying. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Or think they are. You hear that? Yeah. Now, that is a very telling thing. When you start letting your academic credentials get to your head, and where you think you're above other people, guess what? You're not doing ministry. It's not what it's about. And I don't want to make a big deal out of that, because I know exactly what you're referring to, and I've seen that exact same thing. So. Yes. Okay, well, arrogance, if you're arrogant, you're obviously not doing the work of Jesus Christ. That's a totally different approach. You had your hand. Amen. God is good all the time. Amen. Okay, I'm sorry.
I find my place mostly on starter bus.
Okay.
I'm on there a lot of times. I always say I get an itch.
Okay.
I got an itch, that means it's somebody approachable that I can say something to.
Okay. Okay.
Just because something is true, I know it's true because I know what's wrong in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And the scripture says we should let our speech be always with grace,
yep.
Seasoned with salt, mm-hmm. That we may know how we ought to answer every man.
Right.
I ain't got that yet. I have all that.
We all have thorns.
But
amen.
The scripture is yep. True, although it's going to be manifest in my life one day.
Yes.
But I still struggle with it today.
Okay.
So the scripture is still true.
Mm-hmm.
So I call that my office when I'm on the bus, and sometimes,
okay.
You know, I met a young girl, and she was young, but this girl was rooted in, she knew the scriptures, and
mm-hmm.
But by us having this conversation, those mm-hmm. that was around, they could hear.
Okay.
So the seed was planted there.
That's fine. Mm-hmm. However it happens, right? We don't ask questions, we just go with the flow, and that's what we do. Yes. Yeah, I'd pray for him too. Amen. Obviously, the value of the degree was much higher than where it should be. It needs its proper place. Okay, Ed had his hand. Okay. Exactly. It's what you do. Yeah. I mean, first of all, I'm a big advocate of education. Education is the biggest deal in our entire communities. From grade school all the way up, starting there. That's part one. Part two is that if you have the ability to advance your education in any way, shape, or form, do so. Do it. You know, I'm paying for it now in student loans. Woo, through the nose. But you do it for the benefit of just having a greater knowledge that you can learn more about Christ, learn more about this world we live in, the people that you interact with. Remember, you're dealing with human beings. We all have flaws. We all have things that we have to overcome and deal with over time. And that's true for all of us. That's everybody in this room. We can point to other folks all the time, but we got our own stuff. Start with yourself first. Go ahead, Pearl. Sorry.
Waiting for somebody to come in and treat them as if they were
Yes.
They may not cross the line coming mm-hmm. home.
Yep.
But you reach up and mm-hmm. you cross that line to treat them as if, you know, hey, I'm just as, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah.
respect the position maybe.
Absolutely.
And I still reference her as Miss Stephanie.
Yeah.
But we've had some girl talks and she's
it's good. Sometimes they are.
And God will allow that opportunity
yeah.
in your heart if you truly want. And you see that. And sometimes you have to look like me and say, oh, wow, what's there? Because everybody has a story. You may mm-hmm. not know it.
Yep.
But you just look and you say, okay, that might be an opportunity, Lord.
Yes.
And you start praying for an opportunity.
Right.
And I promise you, the other thing I find is, for me, I can speak for me, God has not mismatched me.
Okay.
With my experiences.
Yeah.
He'll often bring that person that mm-hmm. needs just what you've experienced in your life, be it mm-hmm. whatever.
Amen.
And match you right up.
Yep.
And, I met a young lady in the store a couple of weeks ago, just out of her coming on some boots I had on. And she, before I left the store, she hugged my neck and said, oh my goodness, God had you here for a reason.
Okay.
So you just kind of have
that's
to
what
be
you...
in tune with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Not
be fearful. You. That's true too. Mm-hmm. Amen. That's right. That is the most important thing. It's all about your own attitude. It's about being confident in who you are, too. I agree. That does have a lot to do with that. Yes.
I was just going to say real quick, being that when you said that
yep.
there are a lot of verses in the Old Testament, some of the New Testament, talk about, you know, what God was before fall, and prior to the law always wants to do that.
Okay. Amen.
You've got amen. People in the hospital who have no degrees, and you're unable to fend for yourself, and you've got...
Ooh, hadn't thought of that, but that is a very good point. Yeah.
Sitting there, I'm not telling you what I heard about, I'm telling you what I see.
Yeah.
Because you're in the hospital,
yeah.
and there's certain things that you're able to do and not able to do.
The caregivers, yeah.
For your welfare.
That's right. Right.
I mean, because why you see running all that stuff up there, somebody else taking care of everything that you
yep.
need. So it puts you in a mindset to show you just who you really are, because you were a bad person before you got in there. But now, with all of that, if somebody says, well, you know what, why don't you just go ahead and model on that for a little while?
Okay.
Go ahead and let yourself marry it. I mean, baths, a whole bunch of other stuff.
Yep.
Stuff, you know?
Yeah, I was thinking about your dad. Yes, the moment he mentioned that, I was thinking about your dad. Your dad. I remember not to belabor this, but he was unable to go to the bathroom on his own. He literally had to. You know, when you get to a certain point where you can't move, someone's got to wipe your behind. Somebody's got to clean the linens in your bed. Someone has to change you, and these people are willingly doing this stuff. And they do it, and they're just the aides that are working there, the people who are working there, and you know, you have to look at it for what it is. It's certainly a humbling thing. It's a humbling thing because you know you can't do it. You're going to soil yourself. You're just going to be going to the bathroom in the bed. They have to change him, and that's how it was at the end of his life. And I think that in itself being one aspect of the humbling experience that actually led him to accept Jesus Christ. Sometimes those things have to happen. If you're used to doing things on your own, if you're used to living a certain way, if you're used to doing things where you have a mind, and he always had his mind right up until the end, he had his mind and everything, But when you're used to being able to have control over certain things, you no longer can do those things. Where Lynn was out there signing checks for him to help write out bills because he could barely sign his name, barely do any of those things anymore. So it's a humbling experience. And I hope that nobody here has to go through that where they have made a decision for Christ.
Amen.
Amen? I mean, that's what you don't want to have to do. You don't want to have to be at the 11th hour and the 58th minute. Amen? Yes, go ahead. I'm sorry.
You know, I mean, telling my daughter-in-law, sometimes her and her dad go through that. He hurt her feelings, make her cry. And, you know, I keep telling her, Jill, just pray about it because you never know who might have to take care of.
Amen. Amen.
You
never know. You're right. It's amazing how stuff comes around.
Yeah.
I've seen it happen. You will see. It's almost like you don't want to say it's always a comeuppance type thing, or it's something like that. But I've seen stuff come around. Stuff comes around because you don't. We've been alive long enough, most of us now, to see a lot of stuff happen in people's lives. Where there's been a transition or a change, or there has been a humbling of some sort. Something has happened. And God is the one who authors and is in control of all of that. Nothing gets past Him. Let me finish this paragraph. So we do so with humility, amen? That's the most important thing to take away in this little section here. We are still human beings. We deal with other human beings, but we have to be humble human beings. Christ has to come through. If we're not humble, we can't show Christ. We can't be Christ-like when we're not humble. Humility has to be at the forefront. The practice of living in His image and making a pact with Jesus Christ in your decision-making are in line with the first principles of personal and spirit-filled spiritual building, which is what we talked about in the first six lessons of this class. In dealing with others within the body of Christ and general public, there must now be a focus within these relationships. So we're going to talk about that. We're not going to go through those now. I'm going to put some emphasis, though, on, because our class is almost over. I'm looking at the time. Am I looking at this right? Yeah, it's 10:27. So that's how it goes. But we can start with the first part of it. But the focus represents group principles that will promote success in your efforts to disciple others. Now, I understand something. This is something that if you want to play well with others, amen? And I mean play well with others, not just in public, but even within the body of Christ. These principles will be important because we're dealing with human beings in the body of Christ. We all come from different places in our lives, different backgrounds, different people. When we say we're with the entire body of Christ, well, that's not going to exclude people from Appalachia. That's not going to exclude people who come from down south. That's not going to exclude people in your life. That includes everybody. Everybody who knows Jesus Christ is part of the body of Christ. But we all come from different backgrounds. We all come from different places. We still have to deal with sometimes the whole aspect of even worship within our churches, within the Alliance. You know, we got Cross Point. They have their way of worshiping. We have Akron Alliance. We have our way of worshiping. We've got Rolling Acres. They have their own way of doing things. It's all for the same purpose. It's all for the same principle. You're worshiping Jesus Christ. Just because it's different doesn't mean it's better or worse. As long as the praise is going where it needs to go. And I would challenge you this too. You know, when I talk about this education thing, there is nothing wrong with broadening your mind and hearing other viewpoints. It doesn't mean you have to adopt other viewpoints, but it means having a general knowledge of people you're interacting with. That's where it does have importance. You can't approach everything from a narrow-minded tunnel vision view. You have to be able to see things from different perspectives. There may be things that you hear in the education process that you've adamantly disagree with. That's going to happen. But you still need to be exposed to it. There's nothing wrong with that. broadening your minds, reading about certain people, the certain things they go through. Look, I'll give you a great example. The drug controversy, the opiate thing that we hear about, where they have to have Narcan to put in your body so you don't die. Well, this is one of the biggest things that's going on right now, and guess what? It's affecting every single demographic you can think of. Poor people, rich people, white people, black people, all kinds of folks getting caught up in drugs, getting hooked on them, and getting spaced out, taking their kids in the back of the car and driving and passing out. So what you're seeing are ministry opportunities that are coming right in front of your face. But you, in order for you to minister, guess what? You got to learn. You got to know more about what you're dealing with. You have to read about it. You have to see these stories. Yeah, they're not pleasant stories. But sometimes ministry is ugly. It's getting into places that are ugly sometimes. Well, ministry can be ugly. You will see ugly things. I mean, you see, we've seen enough ugly just by going to the hospital. You don't have to go too far. Or going to the nursing home. Or going to the assisted living facility. You'll see enough. But you'll also see people who understand that they're there to do a job. And in many cases, many of them are serving the Lord Jesus Christ right where they are. And they have the attitude and the mentality that this is what I do. And that's how we should be. Wherever God has placed you to be, you are serving Jesus Christ right at that place. When we talk about it more in our seminar this Friday and Saturday, I'm going to challenge you to even think broader about what more you can do in this area of service. And we're not going to go through this thing about taking spiritual gift tests. You know, that stuff, to me, it's limiting, I'll be honest with you. It limits you. It doesn't necessarily put you in a place where you need to be. Sometimes like, people take these tests and say, oh, that's cool. They don't do nothing with that stuff. It's like nothing happens with it. Yes, go ahead. You had your hand shot up. I just had to come back here. Okay.
And I say that I think every single one of y'all who were here to help serve.
Amen.
I can't tell you how many family members came to us at the end and they were watching. And they said, y'all are unified. Everybody was together. They demonstrated love. And we
Amen.
Can't say how many family members Amen. Took over that.
Yep.
Came. And it was the discipleship without force.
Yes, it was.
Absolutely. It was good. Listen, everybody helped out, and that's a praise. If there is a listen, guys, anytime you do something like this, there's a testimony being made. You don't know who is being impacted. You don't know who is being affected, but there is an impact. Someone is paying attention. Someone is listening. Someone is watching. Someone is seeing. All of these things speak about Jesus Christ. That's what you want to do. That's what you want to do. So we're not going to get into spiritual gift testing because the Spirit is going to deal with you personally wherever you need to be and whatever you need to be doing. You need to be prayerful about what your next phase is in this spiritual walk that you're doing. Because we're all going through phases, amen? We're all progressing. That's what the sanctification process is all about. He is sanctifying you on a daily basis and helping you to recognize where you can be of greater service to him. Frankly, until you leave here. I saw a couple of hands. I have no idea. Okay, I'll get Debbie and I'll come back to you. Debbie, go ahead. You're so soft. Speak up a little bit. Yes. We are the fragrant aroma.
Right.
We're supposed to smell good before other people. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Pearl, okay.
So,
Amen.
There were several family members that the guys, they started taking their suit coat jackets off because they, like they were saying, my goodness, they started helping. And one of the cousins, she brought a son over. She said, no, he don't help. My son is available to put in the work. He gonna help break these tables down. We're gonna be here to the end.
Amen.
So what we do is contagious.
It is contagious.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Very good, guys. Fantastic. All right, that was the first bell.
Second.
That was the second bell. All right, so we're going to leave here. I want you to look at the memory verse at the bottom down there, that 1 Peter 3, verses 8 and 9. Now, finally, all of you should be like-minded and sympathetic, should be believers and be compassionate and humble, not paying back evil for evil or insult for insult, but on the contrary, giving a blessing, since you were called for this, so that you can inherit a blessing. You were called to do what you're doing. The moment you accepted Christ as Savior, you are now part of a calling. You are a vessel. God wants to use you, and He wants to use you completely, in completeness. He wants you to be your best before others. That's what we've been talking about. That's what we're going to keep talking about. We're going to keep emphasizing this. I really believe from the bottom of my heart and soul, this is where we need to keep growing as individuals and as a church. That's why we've been spending so much time with this. This is the next phase. This is where we are. Amen? Let's close out in prayer. We'll pick up next week, too, from where we left off. Father, thank you for this time you've given us to come together and look at a couple of verses and hear you speak to us through the Holy Spirit. We thank you for your presence in our lives. We thank you for the challenges you put before us. We thank you for helping us to just really dig deep down and look at our relationship with you and how we are growing spiritually through the Holy Spirit. But now, Lord, we ask that you just continue to work with us where we just continue to make sure that we are focusing on where you would have us to be, who you would have us interact with, what relationships we develop, what people we befriend, whatever that is. We just thank you again for how you want us to look approachable so that we can speak to others and disciple others. Lord, we pray now for the upcoming message and the speaker, and we give you all praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. We'll pick up next week. Great class, everybody.